We continue our learning. Leili Nishmas David ben Menachem Mishnah Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We are in Abu Dazar, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalid. Shal Proklos ben Plosfos es Raman Gamliel ba'ako. Proklos, the son of Plosfos, asked Raman Gamliel the following question. Now, who is this person? So we assume that this is a heretic. We often have heretics speaking with the Tanoim and asking them questions and challenging them. Ben Plosfos, some say that that was his father's name. Others say, no, Ben Plosfos just refers the fact that he is a philosopher. So what did he ask Rabbi Gamliel in the city of Akko? He saw that Rabbi Gamliel happened to be bathing himself in the merchats of Aphrodite. Aphrodite, Bar Tanura says, Tsuras Kochav Noga. This was an image. This was Aphrodite, is a Greek goddess that represented the planet of Kochav Noga, of Venus. So, and he quotes the Rambam as explaining that. So Ram Gamliel was washing himself in this merchatz that had that was known as the Aphrodite bathhouse. So shouldn't that be a problem of Avodah Zarah? So Amar Lo, so this is the question he asked him. Kosev b'taras chem v'lo yidbak b'yadcham u'mam anacherim. Pasuk we've quoted many times. It says in your Torah, you're not permitted to have cleave to you anything from Avodah Zarah, any little bit. So why are you washing yourself, bathing in this merchatz? It should be prohibited to you. Now, we mentioned in the past, earlier in the Masechta, that in the bathhouses, they would have some vault, some kippah, we said, where they would keep this little chamber where they would keep an Avodah Zarah. So shouldn't this be a violation? How could you possibly bathe in this bathhouse that has this idol? So aren't you deriving benefit from Avodah Zarah? So how is this allowed? So Amar Lo, Suram Gamliel said to him, Ein Mishivin Bamerchatz. I can't respond to you in the Merchatz. Bar Tanura says, Devar Torah Bamerchatz. I can't speak words of Torah in the Merchatz. Visha Adam Omei Shum a room, because the person stands there undressed. So I can't speak any Torah to you. I can't explain to you why this is, why I'm allowed to be here. I'll explain to you when I leave. So Kshayatza, when he left the bathhouse, and so now he can discuss Torah. He explained to him why he was able to bathe there. There's some discussion how Rabbi Gamliel could even say the statement "Ein Mishivin Bamerchatz." You're not permitted to respond to Torah questions in the Merchatz, in the bathhouse. Isn't that a halacha itself? How was able to say that? So different explanations. Some say that in fact he only said this when he left, and the next word when it says "Ukshayata" when he left is a reference not only to when he spoke with him, but even when he told him that he was actually silent originally, and that only said "Ein Mishivin Bamerchatz" when he left. And others would say it depends on where he was. We usually and halacha with respect to the laws of tefillin and other places where we discuss three different parts of the merchatz. Like we have, let's say today, different parts of the mikvah. You have a room where everyone stands dressed. That room has no problem with speaking the very Torah. You have a room in the middle where some people are dressed, some people undressed, and you have the mikvah itself where people are undressed. So different halachos in different areas. So maybe he spoke with him outside, but not clearly in the innermost chamber. And in that middle chamber, he was able to say the statement "Ein Mishivin Bamerchatz." He can give a halacha, but to explain the reason behind it, a whole shir that you can't do in the middle section. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Ukshayatza, when Rabbi Gamliel left the bathhouse, Amar Lo, so he told the Proklos exactly why he was able to be there. Ani lo vasi bigvula, he vasa bigvuli. I didn't come literally into the gvul, into the border, into the domain of this idol. She came into my area. What does that mean? So Baruch Tunur says, Shahamerchatz Kodamla. You see, the merchatz, the bathhouse, was built even before this Avodah Zarah was placed in this little chamber in the bathhouse. The hamerchatz nasa lechol habalurchotz. The merchatz was made for everyone who comes to bathe. There's nothing to do with people who are coming to worship an idol. And then he continues, according to the Bar Tanur, he gives another reason. The Bar Tanur says, Va'ut shuva acheres. He gave another reason. What's that? So the Mishnah says, Ein omrim nasa merchatz la'afroditi noi. El omrim nasa afroditi noi la'merchatz. We don't say the bathhouse is made as an ornament, an adornment for the Aphrodite idol, but rather we say the Aphrodite is made as an adornment for the bathhouse. What is this? And he's giving another reason, meaning a bath is not something that comes to adorn something, beautify something. So we don't consider the bath like it's an ornament to the idol, like the idol is the ikkar and the bathhouse is tefill to the idol. No, the statue of Aphrodite is considered the ornament to the bathhouse. It's tefill, it's secondary to it. So when I'm bathing in here, I'm not getting benefit from an idol, from Avodah Zarah at all. So Davarach, and the Mefarshim claim that this is really a connects to the previous statement. I didn't come in its domain, it came in my domain. And why is that? Because the Iker, of course, is the bathhouse and the idol is only secondary. Then the Mishnah says, Davar Acher. Another statement he made, which may be a third thing, a comment that Rabbi Gamliel made to Proklos, Im nosnim lecha mamon harbe, iata nichnas la'avodah zarah shelcha arom, ubal keri umashtin bifaneha. Rabbi Gamliel is pointing out that this is clearly not for idol worship, because if it were, no one, even if you, he told Proclus, if someone gave you a lot of money, would you go and do something very demeaning in front of your idol? He never would. And yet, what are you doing here? Here, you're entering, you're nichnas lavo dezar shalcha arom, you're not dressed. Ubal keri, people about Bal keri will walk in as well, umashtin b'fanei, and urinate in front of it. So would you ever do that in front of your idol? Clearly not. Imnosnu again, imnosnim lecha mamon. Obviously, you wouldn't enter Nichas Lavodah Zarah Shalcha Arom Ubal Keri Umashtim Fanei. You would never do such demeaning acts in front of your Avodah Zarah. Yet, Vizo, and yet, here you have in this bathhouse where you have your Aphrodite idol, still Omedes Al Piha Biv. Here you have someone who stands by the opening of a biv, is like a sewer, which is where people would relieve themselves. V'chol Amashtinim Fanei. And everybody is urinating in front of it. So clearly, this is not a problem at all. Lo namar el Elohei hem es shenoeg bo mishum Eloha aser ves sheino noeg mishum bo mishum Eloha mutter. This is the pasuk that says abed ta'abudun es kol makamos, etc., and it mentions es Elohim. We have an obligation to destroy their gods, their idols. So what does the pasuk say? It says Elohim. You know, how do we interpret Elohim? Their gods, their powers. Es shenoeg b'mishum Eloha aser. Only those idols that's treated like a god, with reverence, are going to those acts are going to be aser. But es she'enu noeg b'mishum Eloha. If you do acts that don't treat this deity as a god, but rather the demeaning, like here. So then, they're not objects of worship, and therefore there's no mutter that is permitted. And that's why I was permitted, says Rav Gamliel, I'm permitted to bathe in this bathhouse. The Gemara says that when we speak about Avodah Zarah, so one of the things that non-Jews are capable of doing is nullifying their Avodah Zarah, is being mevatel Avodah Zarah. If a non-Jew, not a Jew, cannot do so, but an Anju can mevato, can nullify the Avodah Zarah. So is this considered nullifying the Avodah Zarah? Is that what Gamliel is saying? So some explain, yes. The truth is, if you do something like urinating or something demeaning like that, that normally would not be considered bittul, to do that once. But here, we're in the bathhouse, they're doing it on a regular basis. People, hundreds of people coming into the bathhouse, and this is what they're doing. They're standing there undressed and then urinating, etc. So clearly that is considered a bittul of Avodah Zarah, and that's why this is not a problem for Rav Gamliel to bathe in this place. Perek Gimel Mishnah Hey Hagoyim Ha'uvdim Es Heharim Ves Hagvaos. Here we're speaking about non-Jews who are actually worshiping the mountains, the hills, and the same thing would be true if they say worshiping springs. So what's this? What makes this different? So the something that's mechuba lekarka, something that's attached to the ground, that is the ground, that is worshipped, doesn't become asur b'hanah for avodah zarah. This only something that we call talush, only something that's detached from the ground, and this is based on the pasuk that the Mishnah is going to teach us. So the Mishnah says, "Hagoyim ha'ovdim es heharim es hagvaos, hein mutarin." A person is permitted to get hana from that mountain, from those hills. If you want to use them as a quarry, you're permitted to do so. You want to plant something there, you want to plow, there's no problem with that at all, even though they may have been worshipped. Umasha alehem asurin, but that which is upon them are asabana. If, let's say, they covered part of the hill with gold or silver, so that covering will be asur. If they worshipped the covering along with the mountain, but the mountain remains mutter. Shenamar, based on the pasuk in Devarim Zayin, lo sachmod kesef v'zahav alehem alakachta. This is a pasuk in the context of Avodah Zarah, and it tells you So this pasuk, when we're referring to gold and silver, we're talking about the kesef and zahav that are on top of the mountains that have may have been worshipped. So it's true that we don't consider the covering as avodah zarah itself. The mountains and the hills are the avodah zarah. Since the mountains and the hills were worshipped, we consider that which is on top of them. This, since they are talush, they are not mechubel lekarka, they're not attached to the ground officially. Therefore, they're considered. We have to treat them like avodah zarah as well. So that's what the Mishnah says. Once again, hagoyim ha'ovdim es harim ve'esagbaos heimutarim. The mountains, the hills, are mutter to get hana from. You can, as we said, plant, plow, quarry. But umasha aleihem asurim, that which is on top of them, although you didn't worship the gold and the silver, you worship the mountains, but the pasuk says, "V'lo sachmod kesef v'zahav aleihem." So therefore, the kesef zahav, the pasuk says, are going to be prohibited, even though you weren't worshiping the gold and the silver, you were worshiping the mountains. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Elohehem al Heharim. The pasuk says, "Abed ta abedun es kol amakomos asher avdu shom hagoyim asher atem yorshim osam es Elohehem." So you shall destroy all of those places where the non-Jews are worshiping al heharim haramim val hagvaos v'sachak. Was Rabbi Yossi Darshin? Pasuk says, Elohehem al Heharim. Oh, only the gods that are upon the mountains are prohibited, are become Asur Bahana, are considered that something that was worshipped that you cannot benefit from. Velo Heharim Elohehem. But we don't view the mountains themselves as the gods, which means that although they may have worshipped the mountains, they don't become prohibited like gods, because it's Elohehem al Heharim. Only the gods, the idols that may be on top of the mountains, and not the mountains themselves. As well as Elohim al Gavaos, only the gods, the artists that are on part of the hills, Velo Hagavaos, Elohim, and not that the hills will become prohibited Bahana like gods. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi comes to argue with the Tanakhama, but all they're doing is just quoting Psukim. Tanakhama quotes Lo Sachmod Kesev Vizahav. Rabbi Yossi Aglili quotes the Pasuk Elohim al Harim. Both agree that the mountains and the hills do not become Asr Bahana, even though they have been worshipped. So the Gemara says, though, the Machlokes is the following, that Rabbi Yossi holds that even the covering of the mountain that we say that has this, that we that was used as part of the avodah zarah, he believes that the kesef and the zahav on top of the mountain is not prohibited. The mountains are not, mountains may have been worshipped, and not, they're not asur bahana, and that which covers them as well is not a problem. Only Elohim alarim, only the gods that are on the mountains, that is like a separate idol, but not if the mountains were covered by gold or silver, those are not asur bahana. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the mountains are mutar bahana, and even that which covers the mountains are mutar bahana. That's one explanation for how Rabbi Yossi is different than the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says that the gold and silver that cover the mountains that were worshipped are Asur, the gold and the silver, and Rabbi Yossi says they're not. That's Rabbi Reish Lakish's explanation. Rabbi Sheshi says, no, that in fact, when we speak about the covering of the mountains, everyone agrees that it's not Asur Bahana. If the fact that the mountain was worshipped doesn't mean we have to worry about the kesef and the zahav on top of the mountain. So what then is the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Tanakhama? We're speaking about a tree that was planted for the purposes of produce. That's not for avodah zarah, not like an asherah tree. It was planted for produce, and then it was worshipped. So the Tanakhama says, even Tanakhama's more holds that even a tree that was planted and then served as and worshipped as avodah zarah is much Bahana. Why? Because it's mechuba lekarka. Anything in mechuba lekarka is not asur bahana like avodah zarah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says a tree that was planted and then was worshipped is going to be asur. Why? Because this is different than mountains and valleys. Now this machlok has become more clear as the Mishnah continues. But once again, according to this other opinion, Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama are arguing regarding a tree that was planted not for avodah zarah purposes, planted for produce, and then it was worshipped. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that's problematic because it was the bottom line, it was worshipped, and because it's not like mountains and valleys, it was planted. And the Tanakhama says no, it's like mountains and valleys, and therefore it's not going to be a problem since it was not planted for avodah zarah, it was planted for fruit, for produce, and only then afterwards was it worshipped. Oh, says the Mishnah that, ma'asherah asura. Why does the Torah prohibit an asherah? The asherah tree says, va'asherehem tegadeun. We have to destroy, cut down the asherah trees in Eretz Israel, those trees that were worshipped. Va'asherehem tesrufim ba'ech, we have to burn them. Ad asherah is mechuba l'karka. So if it's mechuba l'karka, why should it be any different than the mountains and the hills that are worshipped, which are not asur bahana? Why is a tree asur bahana? Why won't we learn? It says the pasuk Elohim tachas kol eitz ra'anan. Okay, so the Elohim, the gods that may be under the eitz ra'anan, the fresh trees, the green trees, etc., are problematic. The gods, but not an eitz ra'anan itself. The eitz ra'anan is not a god. Why wouldn't we make the same drasha regarding the eitz, the tree, as we do for the mountains? So the Mishnah explains the difference. Mipnei ma asherah asura. Why is an asherah then asura? Why shouldn't it be like a mountain, which even if it's worshipped, does not become asura because it's attached to the ground? Mipnei sheish batfisas yedei adam, because there's an involvement of the hands of man. A person planted it, and that's why v'chol sheish batfisas yedei adam asur. Anything that's planted by a person, even though it becomes mechub l'karka afterwards, is going to be asura. And therefore, that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion from before, where Rabbi Yossi said, one explanation Rabbi Yossi is that there's going to be, the mountains and the hills are fine, but the trees are problematic, even when they were planted, not for Avodah Zarah purposes, because at the end of the day, they were planted. They're not part, they don't start as mechub l'karka. Tanna Kamma holds, though, that the only tree that's prohibited is an asherah, because an asherah, she was planted l'chatzchila for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. But a tree that was planted, stomped for fruit, and was not planted for the purposes of worship, so and then it was only worshipped afterwards, that since at the end of the day it's attached to the ground, it's mechub l'karka, it has the same halacha like a mountain. Am Rabbi Akiva, ani ovin v'adun lefonecha. I will explain, I'll expound and justify the pasuk that we just quoted, al haharim haranim va'al hagvaos, the mountains, the hills, v'sachas kol eitz ra'anan, speaking about the idol worship where we assume that the mountains and the valleys and the trees, etc., maybe the mountains and the hills are not asur bahana. I'll explain. Why does the pasuk mention v'tachas kol eitz ra'anan after we mention mountains and hills, after harim v'agvaos? So he explains the following. Kol makom sh'ata motzei har gavoa v'giv'a nisa'a, wherever you find a high mountain and a very high hill, v'eitz ra'anan and this fresh green tree, da she'esham avodah zarah, you should know that there's avodah zarah there, which means the following. Says Rabbi Akiva, I'll explain to you why this phrase, v'sachas, all these are mentioned here. Why does the Torah mention the mountains and the hills and the trees? To tell you that Am Yisrael should know where to search out the avodah zarah. They have an obligation to burn, to destroy avodah zarah. Where are they supposed to find it? So all the Torah is giving you is a sign. It's giving you maramakom to let you know where to find them. You'll find them on the mountains. You'll find them on the hills. You'll find them under the trees. That's where you're going to find the avodah zarah. So if you want to search them out, the Torah is telling you where to find the avodah zarah in order to destroy them. This is Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, not learn the halacha of the Mishnah, which is that the mountains, if they're worshipped, they're not asur bahana. Does that mean he's ignoring the whole drasha? The answer is no. Rabbi Akiva says that, in fact, what's implied, of course, the fact that you'll find on the mountain the avodah zarah, on the hill, under the tree, that the implication of that as well is to exclude the mountains and the hills and the trees if they are, the trees depend on the type of tree, but if they are worshipped, we assume that they are not included, because the Mara Malkam is telling you where the avodah zarah is found. The avodah zarah is under the tree. The avodah zarah is on top of the mountain, but the mountain itself is not the avodah zarah. So therefore, they don't become asur bahana. Although he learns the psukim a little bit differently, that the Torah is just giving you places where to find the avodah zarah. Nonetheless, we still learn from here that the mountains and the hills, if they are worshipped, they don't become asur bahana. Oh, but what about a tree? So there, since the pasuk says for asherehem tisufun ba'esh, you have to destroy their asherah, and the asherah is a tree we assume was worshipped. So then the Eitz Ra'anan is going to be different, and that's not only a maramakom, that is telling you that the Eitz itself, and it does not imply that the Eitz doesn't become asur b'hana. If an Eitz is worshipped, it's going to be asur b'hana according to Rabbi Akiva. That's what the Bar Tanura says. He says, "Avol Eitz Ra'anan." He said before that. He says, "Miha mimatina mimashma usei shel tzvilanu la'abed harim." We don't have to destroy the mountains. That's implied. Avol Eitz Ra'anan sivalanu la'abed. How do I know that? Shneamar, a separate pasuk. Va'asherehim tesufun ba'esh. And Eitz Ra'anan is a tree that's worshipped. The pasuk says explicitly that it has to be destroyed.